Genesis. We're going to begin in Genesis today. And we are going to look at our inheritance. There's a great deal in God's Word about families and heirs and fathers and children and inheritance. And especially in the New Testament, we were referred to as heirs, as joint heirs, and to our inheritance. But we're going to look in Genesis chapter 15, because that's the first place that an inheritance or an heir is referred to. So Genesis 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now, why is this a big issue and a big deal to Abram?
He had no children.
Well, he had no children, but he was 75 years old or older at this point in time. He gets called by God when he leaves the land of Ur of the Chaldees. He's 75, right? So he's pretty old, and he still doesn't have a male child, an heir. And so by their custom and culture, if he doesn't have a child, everything will pass to Eleazar, his steward, his servant, who was a good guy and very faithful. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been a steward. But Abram wanted to pass it on to his child. And God said, he will, you know, this guy Eleazar will not be the heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number of them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now, how many stars are there in heaven?
Countless.
Well, to us, yes. To God, no. But yes, they're innumerable, and you can't even see them all. I just heard on the radio the other day, they recognized the farthest distant thing they had ever seen, and it was 350 billion light years away. And it was some kind of supernova thing, explosion. And so it doesn't even exist and hasn't existed for 350 years. We're just finding out about it. 350 billion years, which is ridiculous. It's an unfathomable, whatever it is. Can't understand it, beyond comprehension. Hard to imagine, yeah. Okay, so he said, you know, look at the stars. That's how your seed will be. Now, let me ask you a quick question here. Israel, when they left Egypt, it's estimated there were over 2 million people. Is that as much as the stars in heaven?
No.
So this relates not just to that, but even later on and more, doesn't it? So that's kind of interesting to keep in mind. But we'll go on. Verse 6, And he believed the Lord, in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. God accounted, because he believed what God said in his heart, and we know other places it says God knows the heart of man, right? It says that God counted it to him. He accounted it. He reckoned it to him for righteousness. Because Abram believed God, God considered him righteous. Okay? Not because he collected for the heart fund or the cancer fund or took care of meals on wheels. They didn't have wheels in those days, like camel meals on camels. that's a unique thought. Or whatever else. He didn't do those things. He believed God, and because he believed God, God recognized him as righteous. Okay? And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to what?
Inherit it.
So first, Abram's concerned about an heir, and God said, you'll have an heir and a lot more. And then he said, and I have given you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How do I know that I'm going to inherit this land? You know, what's the proof? You know, prove it. And he said unto him, take me an heifer. He, being God, said unto him, Abram, take me an heifer of 3 years old. An heifer is a cow, right? Female cow that has not had a calf yet. Where am I? Oh, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. Meaning he killed the animals and he cut them up. Right? That's what that means. He killed the animals, cut them up, but not the birds because they're too small. And he set them up as a burnt offering unto God. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, he being God, know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shalt serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance, meaning they will come out with great riches and wealth. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come out hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Abram's asleep, right? Mm-hmm. Who brought the burning lamp and the smoking furnace between all the pieces?
God.
God, yeah. In other words, he burned up the offering, the sacrifice, and that was a sign of him telling Abram this was his proof, this was his guarantee that what he gave him as an inheritance and a promise was to come to pass. And it also has to do with a covenant because they shed blood. Okay? In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So that's the promise that God made to him. Pretty cool. So what is an heir and what is an inheritance? It's a good question. An heir is something on your head. No. An heir. An heir is a person receiving or entitled by law to receive property or rank as the successor of the former owner. That's a dictionary definition. It is someone that is entitled to something, and it's usually by custom or by law, and it is usually at the will of the one who possesses it, and they're leaving it or giving it to someone else. It could be property, material things. It could be rank or authority, like a king would leave to the prince, or someone that owns property, a home, and they would have legal title to it, and so on and so forth. And the inheritance is the succession of property, privilege, rank, title as a legal or a birthright, a legal right or a birthright, you see? So if you're the eldest son or you are the children, depending on the laws of the land, and your parents pass away, fall asleep, then according to the law, it would pass down to you. So in England, for instance, if you are an earl or a duke or something like that. You know, that privilege, that rank is passed down by birth, right? Lands and privileges, they do that in Europe. We didn't do that in the United States because there are no titles in the United States, are there? No, no titles. That was put down in the Constitution, but in other countries, you know, they pass this down, you see? But the idea of passing down rank or privilege or authority, you have privilege and authority over what you own, right? Okay. And because you are born in the United States, or your children are born in the United States, or you are a citizen of the United States, you pass on the rights and privileges that are granted by the law of the land, wherever you may be. So if you are an American citizen, but you happen to live in Switzerland because of a job or something, and your children are born, they have the right to be natural-born American citizens with all the rights and privileges thereof, right? So that kind of tells you a little bit about what inheritance is. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians. Chapter 3. Now, of course, we inherit other things, don't we? We inherit things called jeans. Not Levi's or Lee's or Wranglers, but, you know, jeans, DNA. The things that, you know, color of your eyes, color of your hair, how tall you're going to be, how skinny or fat, size of your feet, you know, all that kind of stuff. And even to another extent, other things, disposition maybe, to some degree or another, abilities, maybe. You know, people aren't really sure. We don't really know. You know, they try to figure out, for instance, yesterday the Kentucky Derby happened, right? And out of the blue, a horse that nobody knew anything about, long shot, with not much of a birth history, won. Now, in horse racing, ancestry is very important. So if you can trace your ancestry back to man of war for some reason, you are a very valuable horse and everybody wants you. Or even more recently, Secretariat or Affirmed, which were great racing horses that won a lot of races and were famous. Well, if you are a horse and you are in their bloodline, you're worth a lot of money because they think that because those horses were great horses, you're going to be a great horse. But it doesn't always work, does it? It doesn't always follow because we don't really know all about that stuff. You know, it just doesn't work like that. My dad was a great baseball player. I was mediocre. Go figure. You know, those things just don't necessarily follow. You know, Sean and Patty cannot sing a note. Well, they can sing a little bit. But Lisa has a beautiful voice. How does, you know, see, there's no figuring, is there? You know, we don't really understand all that stuff. But we do inherit things. And sometimes the way the genes mix together and the DNA works, we come up with abilities that nobody in our past bloodline have had. You see? So those are other things that we inherit. Okay, we're going to go to Galatians here. But God makes a big deal about families and bloodlines, doesn't he? For whatever reason. And you know, there, for some reason or another, some groups of people believe more than others. Do we understand any of that? Not particularly, because everybody has freedom of will. Everybody has the opportunity to believe. You know, for whatever reason, some countries, the word of God is believed more readily than others. For instance, Japan, there are very few Christians. People have gone in there, missionaries have spoken for hundreds of years, and there are some Christian churches. But for the most part, Christianity has had very little success in Japan. But in Korea, which is just a few miles across a body of water, Christianity has flourished. You know, how do you figure that? You don't. Who knows? Anyway, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of money, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. One of the promises that God made to Abraham was that one of his heirs, one of his bloodline, would be the promised Messiah. What a great promise. Why did he do that? Because he loved Abraham, and Abraham was such a faithful believer. God made that great promise to Abraham. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Wow, what does that all mean? I'm not really sure. But we can say a few things. The promise that God made to Abraham was before the Mosaic Law, right? And we read that God had made a covenant with Abraham. And he confirmed that covenant with a sacrifice, a burnt offering. Abraham cut up and shed the blood of animals, and then God came down and consumed that offering with fire. And then the coming of Christ was a further confirming of that covenant that God made with Abraham. And there were other things that God, you know, told Abraham. But one of the things he told him was that your children would go into Egypt, they would be in bondage, and then 400 years later, they would come out of bondage and they would inherit the promised land, which is what happened with Israel, right? And then later on, Christ came being of that bloodline, and Christ did appear. So he's writing it in there. So the law did not disannul, or that was not the end of the promise, but that promise continues. That covenant that God made for the inheritance to Abraham and to his seed and seeds continues on. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, meaning you don't have to keep the law to be a part of the promise for the inheritance. It has nothing to do with the law because it was before the law, okay, and continues after the law. But to the seed of Abraham, the seeds of Abraham, Israel, the law was given, okay? But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come. The law was given to Israel because they couldn't get it straight. They couldn't keep things in order. They did stupid things. They didn't know how to worship God and keep God in their life. So God gave them a law. Okay? Until when? The seed, the promised seed of Christ came to fulfill the law. To whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But righteousness is not by the law, is it? Because Abraham was considered righteous by God because he did what?
Believed.
But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith or believing of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. There you go. So the promise is given to those that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith or believing, or until believing should be afterwards revealed. Okay, well, that's great. Now, let's go down to verse 25. But after faith or believing is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we were all children of God by believing in Jesus Christ. We were all made children of Jesus, of God, by believing in Jesus Christ. And how were we made children? We received a seed, right? Holy Spirit, which is considered and called by God a seed. It is a seed of life. You can't have life without a seed. You can't have physical life without a seed. You can't have spiritual life without a seed. God has given us that seed by believing in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we get in on by believing in Christ to be heirs. That is why his seed can be counted as the stars in heaven. Because everyone that believes from Christ, you know, everybody that was of the bloodline of Israel was Abraham's seed. And everyone that believes in Christ afterward is considered Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Pretty great. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So because we believed in Jesus Christ, because God made a promise to Abraham, God sent forth his Spirit, and he put it into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, therefore, we can have a close, personal, intimate relationship with God. What a great thing. Because before that, people couldn't. It was very rare that somebody had a close personal relationship with God. It was usually a very rigid, formal relationship with God based on other things. Okay. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we are heirs. We are heirs of God. We are heirs with Abraham, with God. And let's go to Romans. Or heirs of Abraham and heirs of God. And then in Romans chapter 8, it goes on to say, which really Galatians is explaining again, or reproving the Galatians because they didn't believe what Romans said, or correcting them. And it says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, Abraham asked for a proof, a surety of what God had promised. God consumed the offering and made a covenant with him. And then later on, as proof to Israel, he sent Christ. To us he gave spirit. He gave spirit which bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You see? So he gave us proof that we are heirs, that we have an inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. You know, to be an heir, my mom and dad had, well, my dad had two kids, and then he had two kids with my mom, but everything that they had was divided four ways. So when my mom died, my oldest brother had already passed away, but his wife and her kids and my sister and my brother and I, we all got an equal share. Split it up four ways. We each got $5. That's the way it goes. Well, I got a little more than that, but anyway. So we were heirs, but we weren't joint heirs, were we?
No.
No, we were heirs. We divide everything equally. Joint heirs don't divide everything equally. Each get the whole bundle. And you see that a lot with rich people. For instance, the Kennedys. Beautiful people that they are. You know, they have, like in Palm Beach, they always say, if it's on the news, they'll say, the Kennedys met today at the Kennedy Complex in West Palm Beach, Florida. Okay? The complex is an estate, a mansion with a wall around it and a gate, and it has a big house and it has little houses in there and beach property and all this other crap. And the whole family owns it. You know, it is their joint heirs. They all inherited, you know, and then they go to, where is it, up in New England, huh? No, that's the Bushes. That's the Bush complex.
Hyannisport,
yeah. And the Bushes have a place in Kennebunkport, and it's the Bush complex, and all the Bushes go there, and it's their joint heirs of that property. It's passed down in the family, not to an individual, and it's not split up. It's kept whole, and everybody in the family has a right to use it. That's a joint heir. So we are joint heirs with Christ. All that Christ gets from God inherits as an heir, as a son of God, we inherit equally. We get the same full benefit package. We get all the perks and privileges thereof that Christ gets. Pretty cool. I like it. So if we are heirs, we have an inheritance. And what is that inheritance? Well, what do we know about it? We just read that it was not of the Old Testament law, but of believing. And it was a promise that was made to Abraham. And we just read in Romans that we have proof of that inheritance and that we are joint heirs. So let's go to Titus. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Titus chapter 3. Okay, just checking it. Okay, chapter 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. What is that referring to?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. After. Not by works of righteousness, not collecting for the heart fund, the cancer fund, meals on camels, or whatever, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, you know, our sins are blotted out. We know. You know, Jesus Christ paid the price, was the perfect sacrifice, and with his blood he washed away our sins. Pretty great. So we are renewed. We are regenerated. We have become new creations in Christ Jesus, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, which was the promise to Abraham, the proof of his inheritance, right? That would be passed down through the generations to his heirs, who we now are. Because when we believed in Christ, we became heirs of Abraham and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That being justified or made righteous by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So one of the things or aspects of our inheritance is that we have eternal life. How about that? That is probably a good thing. As long as that eternal life is good and pleasurable, that's a good thing. If it was an eternal life of misery, that would be a bad thing. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to think about that. You know, if I said to you, you got to go spend a month in Alaska, you would say, okay, which month? Right? You know, certain months, probably not so much fun. Other months, probably great. Or how about Florida? You know, I'm going to send you to Florida for a month. Well, is it a good month or a bad month, you know? February is a good month. July and August are bad months in Florida, right? If you've ever been to Florida in July and August, it's miserable. See, well, what about eternal life? What about forever? We're getting sent somewhere forever. Is it a good eternal life or is it a bad? It's a good one. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, you know, you got to think about those things. Just because you have eternal life doesn't mean it's going to be fun. Right? What does God say about it? Well, here's something he says. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 47. The first man of the earth is earthy. Who's that?
Adam.
He was earthy. You know, sometimes we say that's very earthy, meaning, you know, a good thing, right? You're down to earth. In reality, biblically, it's not so good. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Those that are of body and soul, who everybody is born is body and soul. They are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You know, those that are born again have spirit. They are as the heavenly. They are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What is the image of the heavenly? What did Jesus Christ look like? What did he appear as after he was raised from the dead? Because that's the context here, the resurrection. What was he like when he was resurrected? He had a new body. So one of the promises of our inheritance is we get a new body. How much is that worth? How much does it cost to get new hips or a new knee? You know, well, big bucks, right? If you didn't have medical insurance to pay, you could probably not afford to get a new knee, which is probably $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, or new hips, you know, which they do these days. How about a heart transplant? How much does that cost? Or even just a bypass, a quadruple bypass. Expensive. You know, these things all cost a fortune today. You know, but people look for it. Why do they look for it? Because they want a new body. They want to stay young and alive as long as possible. We get, by believing, for free, nothing. We get a new body. For how long?
Forever.
Because if I get a knee replacement, which my knee kills me in this weather, and it won't work as well as the old one did, it'll last until, you know, I fall asleep or the Lord comes back. But when the Lord comes back, I get a whole new body, and that body is good for ever. That's better than any warranty, guarantee you've ever gotten on anything you've ever bought any time in life. You get, if you buy a Rolls Royce, everybody knows what a Rolls Royce is, right? Greatest car ever made. You know how they check and test an engine for Rolls Royce? They build the engine, and they put a glass of water filled to the very brim. You ever fill a glass to the brim where it appears to be over the top, but it doesn't drip down the sides? They fill a cup of water or a glass of water that full. Then they turn on the engine. If the water drips over, they send it back to fix because it's not perfect. You see? That's a guarantee, and they guarantee those engines for the life, and they put a seal on it, and as long as that seal is not broken and you always take it back to a Rolls-Royce dealer, they will guarantee that engine. That's a guarantee for life. However, eventually, sometime, somewhere along the line, what's going to happen to that engine? It's going to wear out, right? Parts are going to wear out. And then they have to replace them or rebuild or get a new engine. That's the way it is. Our new body, which is forever, will never wear out. So already this eternal life is looking pretty good. It's looking better all the time. Okay. Where are we? Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Flesh and blood. How did you inherit the kingdom of God? You believed. You believed, and it was given to you. Free. That's great. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And you know what? We know from reading other places that the body that we receive is incorruptible. It means it never wears out, right? Okay, cool. And it goes on and says some other stuff. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Here's another promise for our eternal life inheritance. chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, his loving love, his great love, his magnanimous, wonderful, over-the-top love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places, or in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, in the when?
Ages.
The word ages is the word eons. Eons means innumerable passage of time, beyond, you know, forever, basically. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches, not just riches, but exceeding riches, the exceeding abundance of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So when we get to heaven, he's not going to beat us up. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. How kind is God?
The kindness.
I mean, doesn't get any kinder, does it? Doesn't get any kinder. So eternal life's looking even better. It's looking really good. Much better than a month in Alaska, even in the good season. Or Florida in February. Okay. It's kind of like going to Hawaii. Hawaii is always the same, right? Anyway. Colossians chapter 3. Well, Hawaii is always 75 degrees, but they do have rain. And they do have volcanoes that erupt here occasionally. And yeah, and a lot of cockroaches. And then they have weird snakes there that are not so friendly. Okay, they don't tell you about that in travel brochure, though. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. What is this telling us to do? Whatever we do in life, we're supposed to do it as though we were serving Christ, or we are actually serving Christ. So whether you are working, whether you are fathering and parenting, you are being with your husband, your wife, with friends, whatever you're doing, it says we are to do it heartily as unto the Lord, like we were doing it for Jesus Christ himself. That's how we are to do it. Okay? I don't know if that communicates to you, but it's you got to have a slight glimpse of it anyway. Knowing, and when we do this, we know that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So in that inheritance, not only are we going to get a new body, which is going to be perfect, and God's going to be exceedingly, wonderfully, beyond what we can imagine, kind to us forever. But if we do good things now, we're also going to get some extra rewards. We're going to get, on top of the hot fudge sundae, a couple of cherries for doing different things, heartily as unto the Lord. And I bet you, you know, just simple things like, my wife tells me I got to do something in the yard, and I do it with all the love of God that I can muster up, and I'm blessed and I'm happy. Andrew, I say, cut the grass, and he does it with joy and heartfelt love of God. You know, we get rewards for that, right? Just stupid, simple things. If we're doing it heartily as unto Jesus Christ, not only do we get the inheritance, we get to live forever. Not only do we get a perfect body to live that forever. And not only do we get the out of sight, over the top, limitless kindness of God, but we get extra rewards. First Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Verse Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, or praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a lively hope, or a living hope, which means it doesn't die, it doesn't go away. To an inheritance incorruptible. You know, you could have an inheritance from your mom or your dad or an uncle or an aunt. My wife's got an aunt. Really nice lady. Aunt Marie. Aunt Marie's never been married. Aunt Marie's got big bucks. And she inherited the beach house on the Jersey Shore, which is a double lot, which has got to be worth, who knows, even on a downturn in real estate, because they bought it for about the property for $3,000 or something right after World War II or during World War II. And her father went with her uncle and built the house. So, you know, how much is that worth? Everybody in Stella's family, not everybody, but some of the people in Stella's family are wondering, who's in Aunt Marie's will? Because she could cut you out if she doesn't like you. Because she has no kids. She has no direct descendants. So it depends on what she says in her written legal will. You see? So that is a possible inheritance. And it can be corrupted if you screw up, if you are the one, or one of the ones, right? And, you know, she could put in her will, you can have this house, but you can't tear it down and build a nice one. And it's kind of old and worn down and you know, it's old. It's not very big. But it's got a lot of property. You know, down in the shore, nobody has property, right? The house takes up most of the property. This has a lot of property. It has a double garage. Separate from the house. Okay. We have an inheritance which is incorruptible. Nobody's going to cut us out of the will. It's not going to go away. It's not going to fall apart. It's not going to go bad. You know, if you know anything about real estate law, if there was a major storm and it washed away that house and that became beachfront, the property is no longer the families. It now belongs to the state. That's right. So when they have a big hurricane on the shore and it wipes out the beachfront property, those people don't get to rebuild. It's done. So that inheritance has now corrupted. So we have this incorruptible inheritance, eternal life, new body, perfect new body, that doesn't corrupt, doesn't go bad. You know, we have the ever over the top best kindness of God. We have, what is the other thing? And on top of that, we get extra rewards when we do good things. Woohoo! And it's undefiled, means it's uncontaminated, it's pure. There's not going to be any negatives in our inheritance. None whatsoever. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved for you. You know, if you make a reservation at the best restaurant and you show up 10 minutes late, what happens to that reservation? You lose it. It's gone. How about that? This is pretty cool stuff. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We got to close it up here pretty quick. I didn't think this would take this long. I got so excited about this. When do we get this inheritance?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, if you get an inheritance from an ancestor, from your father, grandfather, whatever, they can say you can't receive this inheritance till you're a certain age, or until you do certain things, until you have so many kids, or until you're married so many years, or blah, 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 blah. They can put all kinds of restrictions on it. You know, you could inherit down in Chester County, where they have all those fancy farms, people hand down farms, but they have special liens on the property. You can't do whatever you want with that property. You get the property, and you get to pay the taxes on it, and you get to keep up and maintain the building, but you can't sell it off, and you can't make any money on it, you see, because there's restrictions. There's no restrictions with God. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's another thing that we have in our inheritance. We will ever be with the Lord. Gee, that's tough. You know, I could send you to Alaska and Florida, and I say, but there's a catch. You're going with Captain Grouch. You know, or somebody, Maggie Muggins, who you don't really care about. Major Pain. Somebody like that. It wouldn't be much fun, would it? But we're going to be ever with the Lord. Not bad. But, chapter 5, verse 1, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I run in. You don't have any need to know. When it's here, it's here. Okay. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. But now, doesn't say now, but it should say now. Just, you can look it up in a interlinear. But now we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chose you to salvation, to wholeness, through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And what is that everlasting comfort? It's our inheritance. All that he's given us, all he's done for us, and all we're going to have for eternity. It's a great thing, isn't it? And you know, in 1 John it says, we will be as he is. We will be, and we'll be known as he is known. You see? So we have a tremendous inheritance. Do we know all of the details? Absolutely not. Do we know what those rewards are?
No,
but we know that there are rewards for righteousness. We know that there are rewards for looking towards the return. We know all kinds. There are all kinds of rewards. Do we know specifically what they are? No. But does God ever give anything bad? No. It's always way beyond what we could imagine. It's always way beyond what we could ever think or imagine. So what a great inheritance. What a great thing to think about. I mean, we're blessed beyond what we, you know, you just start thinking about it and just think what a great inheritance we have. How great it is to be an heir of Abraham, a joint heir with Christ, heirs of God. It just doesn't get any better. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and taking care of us, for what a great, magnificent, magnanimous, loving Father you are. And we just thank you for that great inheritance that we have. It's just too big to even imagine. So we thank you for this, and we thank you for those new bodies we're getting. And we thank you for, you know, just being able to be there with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, for all eternity. And we thank you for this. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, and send him back quick. Amen.